Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be right at verse 27. Matthew 5, 27. We're going to go to verse number 30. Matthew 5, 27 through 30. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if the right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Father, in the name of our Savior and our Lord, what a glorious day. We thank you for so much. We thank you for so much that you've done today. God is here, woke us up, wanting to come out to God's house, blessing those young people and those adults that have joined them to come and want to sing glory to you. Thank you for those that are preparing the food so we can fellowship. Nothing like a fellowship. Amen. We just thank you for everything that's been said today, all the prayers that have been prayed, and we just thank you, Father God, and as it was said, we just pray that somebody would hear from you today. Amen. Somebody would hear from you today and say, amen, you know what? I'm going to apply those verses to my life. Right. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I could have called this, what is a Christian series? Or a series on what is a Christian? Now, I hear it all the time because I have to go around and do religious assessments on folks and they tell me they're a Christian. Well, I got a better answer for them today than I had a month ago. You turn to the Sermon on the Mount and you start reading, start at verse number 5, chapter number 5, and you read the entire Sermon on the Mount and you'll find out if you're a Christian.
Amen.
Because if you're a Christian, these truths will resonate in you. These truths will, they'll come alive in you. You'll realize, yes, I am. I'm poor in spirit. I am a one humble son of a gun. I am a mourner. I just mourn when I look at what's going on in this world and what the sins that I have caused, I've done. I just mourn. I am meek. I am pure in heart. I am a peacemaker. I love the Lord. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. And we just go on and on down the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not a murderer. I don't want to kill nobody in my heart. I don't have a wish that somebody would die. That's a difficult one. Some of us sit there and say, well, that's easy. No, it's not. Because we got some folks we don't like. Really, we do.
Amen.
All you got to do is start watching Fox or CNN.
Amen.
And then the Republicans want all the Democrats to die. And then the Democrats want all the Republicans to die. And that's just the way of the world. I had my brother over and he was working on my computer and we was talking about different things, and then he being a diehard, I mean a staunch Democrat. And I don't know what caused the conversation because I didn't bring it up. He said something about Donald Trump and he just took off. And I mean, he just took off and he was just adamant that this man is not qualified to be the president of the United States of America.
Amen.
And I was just sitting there listening. I said, ain't none of them qualified.
Amen.
On both sides.
Amen.
It's just a mess.
Uh-huh.
And this world ain't getting any better.
Amen.
So when we look at our text, I just wish the Word of God would excite folks. Like I see the Super Bowl, people getting ready for the Super Bowl. And, well, Cam and, you know, and Peyton Manning. He's going out this last year. And Peyton Manning and Cam Newton and... Are you excited about what Jesus has done in your life? Are you excited about the fact that you was raised from the dead, that you was quickened when you didn't have a care in the world about the things of God.
Amen.
And he has saved your soul.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said in verse 27, he said, you have heard, you've been taught, and it's good that you've been taught. It's good that you've been taught about sexual sins. That's what Jesus said. It's good that you've been taught about sexual sins, because you know what? It's not being taught.
Amen.
It's not being taught today. Folks don't want to talk about sexual sins because they don't want to run folks out of the church. I remember preaching at a church years ago and preached on sexual sins. And the pastor pulled me to the side and said, you can't preach like that here. You're going to empty my church. He said, all these women in here, and all he had in the church were women. He said, all these women in here are sexually active. Oh, yeah, he did. And before he could get that out, it was lined up. And they was like, thank you. I needed to hear that.
Amen.
Thank you. I needed to hear a word.
Amen.
Thank you. I needed to hear what you said today. I was blessed by it.
Amen.
I was changed by it. So I say to these ministers, when they get up and preach, be fearless.
Amen.
Don't let Satan back you off of what you need to say, because you're not preaching your life.
Amen.
You're preaching Christ's life. And when Jesus said, I preach on sexual sins, then I ought to preach on sexual sins.
Amen.
He says, you have heard it said in the old time, thou should not commit adultery. You shouldn't. But they were being external. They was talking about the very act of adultery. And they were really talking about being caught.
Uh-huh.
And we'll find that out when we do a little research on the woman caught in the act of adultery. But he said, you shouldn't. You shouldn't commit adultery. And we know we shouldn't. But Jesus was talking about something deeper. Something more internal. He was talking about adultery in the heart. He was talking about any sexual sin. And somebody said, well, what's wrong with sexual sin? Let me say this. If you ain't saved, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you a sinner, and you willing to say in your heart, if I die today, I know I'm going to hell. You can do whatever you want to do.
Uh-huh.
You the word of God don't mean anything to you.
Uh-huh.
The word of God is not holding you accountable for nothing, because you your own man or you your own woman, and you can do what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
But if you say you're a Christian, then you have a problem with sin. What is sexual sin? What makes it wrong? How about that? What makes it wrong? It's so good and so many people are doing it. What makes it wrong? God's word says it's wrong.
Amen.
God's word said it is a sin against a holy God.
Amen.
And again, when we start talking about sanctity of marriage, we start talking about sanctity of marriage. You know, really what Jesus is doing here is promoting marriage.
Uh-huh.
He's really promoting marriage, because it is a wonderful thing. Sex in between a husband and a wife is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Now, I was talking to some of my boys, and they said, well, let me tell you something. Two women can't have sex.
Amen.
I don't know what they're having. Okay? But they're not having sex. Two men are not having sex.
Amen.
Sex is between a man and a woman. And the sex that God agrees or promotes is the sex between a man and a woman.
Amen.
In marriage.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor, you old fogey.
Amen.
We doing our thing out here. I'm going to talk about y'all's thing.
Amen.
Okay? I'm going to talk about it.
Amen.
Okay? Yes, it was our thing. So, listen, he's talking about sex in the heart.
Amen.
Sex in the heart. Sex in your eye movements. I remember this. When I was working at Trumbull Correctional, and I was supervising 500 females. Divine protection.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, they were. They was like, well, nobody wanted to go down there. None of the other supervisors wanted to go down there. I was the lowest one in seniority at that time. Well, just, you know, send Sergeant Neil down there. And I watched them brothers lose their jobs. Married men losing their jobs. Deacons, ministers losing their jobs. Losing their jobs. And I sat there and I thought about it. I said, well, you know, You just don't understand the power of sin. And when you're walking around this world, you have to have a divine security system set up on your life.
Amen.
You have to.
Amen.
Now, I remember being down there, and I'm sitting here, not no doggone saint by any sense, other than sanctified.
Uh-huh.
And then women would come around, Sergeant Neal, Sergeant Neal, Sergeant Neal, and they didn't bother me. Then one day, one came in my room, in my office. And all the alarm systems went off. Everything went off. I seen Cindy. I seen my house. I seen my pension, Social Security. I was like, get out of here. I was so glad when she got released. That's just real. Oh, y'all don't like a real preacher. Y'all want me to sit up here and sugarcoat everything and, yes, Jesus loves you and, you know. No. I try to keep it real. Because you're going to run into some stuff out there. Men and women. And see the word of God is clear. It talks about sexual sin so much. Proverbs 4:5-6 says this. Let me read this. Because I want to speak to young people and old people.
Amen.
Okay. See, some folks think you're too old. You know, no, you're not. You're going to deal with sexual sin, young and old. Look at Proverbs 4:5-4. It says this. I'm gonna read verse number 1. It talks about the danger of sin. Amen. The danger of sin. It says, my son.
Yeah.
Juan and Daquan. My sons. Attend unto my wisdom and bow thou ear to my understanding. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. That's interesting. That my lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Listen, that's so true. That's so true. You get involved with one of them and have a baby by one of them and then decide you don't want them. They're not going to be as sweet as they was when you was having that baby. And your personnel office at your job will know her by name. And y'all don't believe me? That's Evelina. And you had 3 or 4 babies by 3 or 4 different women. It's hard to get a job. It's hard to get a job. It's hard to even want to work because that check going to be chopped up by the women that you loved.
Amen.
Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Listen, now, watch this, Proverbs 7:22, talk about these foolish young people, talk about a foolish young man who just sexual, I'm just sexy, and I'm sexual. The Bible calls you a fool.
Amen.
If you think you all that, and you think you got it going on, and you think every woman want me, the Bible calls you a fool. He said he go after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter or as a fool to the corrections of the stocks till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hastening a snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. That's the kind of knowledge you want to keep on your lips when you run into this stuff because you're going to run into it. And Jesus is teaching this. He's teaching this. You're going to run into some things. But let's take just a few lessons from the woman called it adultery. Now, we know most of us that have studied the Bible, have come to this church for any length of time. We know the story of the woman caught in adultery. If you don't know it, it's in John 8, verses 1 through 11. And just to move a little quicker through it, Jesus was teaching. He was teaching in what they would call a woman's court. He was teaching the women, okay, a women's court of the temple. And they brought into him, verse number 4. And they brought a woman into him and said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, sexual sin, adultery. In the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Question mark. This they said, tempting him that they might have an excuse. Excuse me, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, I believe they thought they had him. See, when folks think they got you, they'll keep questioning you because they don't think you got an answer. Oh, he had the answers. Amen. He had the answers. Now they continued asking him, and he lifted himself up. He lifted up himself. Now, every time I see lifted, I just think about the power of God. Amen. And he lifted himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, I watched this on YouTube. I watched this whole thing, and these brothers were standing around with stones, big stones. And they was holding them ready. And she was against a wall. So they would have stoned her against a wall. And again, he stooped down and rolled on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. One by one. Beginning at the eldest and unto the last. And when Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Listen, don't go get caught up in this mess again. Why did he say that? Not because the fear of being stoned, because grace has saved her. Amen. And when grace saves you, grace keeps you. And if you're saved by grace, what must you do? You must live by grace. Then not only live by grace, you ought to be grace givers. And this is what Jesus was saying to these Pharisees and religious rulers. The same grace that saved this woman has saved you. And we ought not always look at the external, but look at what's going on even in us. Because some of us have been caught in the very act of adultery. And some of us have looked. And that word look means look with a desire. Look with a desire. And if we haven't, and if we good enough, and we haven't, you just keep on living. And you just keep on living because God is going to deal with us all. But Pastor, what's so bad about sex? What's so bad about fornication? Well, that's interesting. Paul knew what was so bad about fornication in 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul talked about it. Paul talked about it. He was fearless. He didn't care. Amen. He says this to the Thessalonian church about sexual sin. Now somebody said, wait a minute. Glory, you ain't tell me your pastor was talking about sexual sin today. Picking me up, bring me your church. I told you he was crazy. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 4. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't even preach like this.
Amen.
If I didn't love you, I wouldn't even preach like this. I wouldn't say nothing. But Paul loved the people of God. And he wanted them to be the best they could be. And he knew the only way they could be the best of that they could be, and any of us, the only way any of us can be the best we could be, or can be, or should be, or want to be, we have to have the power of God working through our lives.
Amen.
And faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, beg you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Walk holy. Children of God, walk holy. People of God, be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. Be the light at the school. Be the salt at the school, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your community, at the ball games, wherever you at. Shine. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God. Somebody asked, Pastor, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I'm gonna tell you today. You'll know before you leave here.
Okay.
Amen. You'll know before you leave here. Because the word of God says, for this is the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is for your life. You turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 3, and you will know what the will of God is for your life, especially if you're a child of God. Now, if you're a child of Satan, Satan has a will for your life, too. And that is to kill, steal, and to destroy you. See, Satan has a will for your life, just like the Lord has. And by the way, it looks, Satan's plan working a lot better than the Lord's. For this is the will of God. You will never have to ask that question again. Even your sanctification. That word means even your walk and your growth and your maturity in the Lord. If you want to grow in godliness and grow in godly wisdom and the things of God, he says that you abstain from fornication. What's that word stay mean? Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Some of us run into it. Some folks just run into it. We just, listen, I can't wait to fornicate. I just can't wait to fornicate. I just got to know what it's like. I got to feel it. I got to do it. I want to be a fornicator. If you think like that, you can rest assured you're a child of the devil.
Amen.
You are. If you think like that, and you sitting here today and you're like, listen, I don't care what that old man say. I'm a fornicator. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you some problems associated with fornication and sexual sin. I'm going to help somebody. I think the number's higher. Among African-American households, 70% plus are headed by single mothers. And really what that means is they are headed by women who really don't want to have nothing to do other than getting a check every month or every whatever from the man they had a sexual relationship with. The foster care agencies and children's services are loaded with sexual misconduct children. 42% of Hispanic families are headed by single mothers. And it's because they're headed by single mothers. Don't mean the single mother got it all together. See, a lot of these single mothers have been destroyed by that relationship they had with that knucklehead. They just wanted to fornicate. Let me say this. Since 1972, talk about sexual sin, there have been 58 million abortions. 58 million abortions. That's a lot of people. 86%, almost 90% of all abortions were just for recreational sex. And abortion has been almost like a birth control.
Uh-huh.
Here's something you want to hear. Pink, 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 pink. Everywhere you go, pink, breast cancer awareness, breast cancer awareness. Anybody know this? That there is a strong link between breast cancer and abortion. Basically, some studies say you have a 50 or 60% chance of having a breast cancer if you had an abortion. Now, the American Cancer Society ain't going to tell you that. But there's been numerous studies. Study this on your own. Folks that have abortions have an upward 60% better chance of having breast cancer than someone who has it. Black women, even though we only make up 9% of this country, have over 60% of all abortions in America. Sexual sin. Here's a good one. Here's a good one. Because when you have an abortion, you go to the clinic, they ask you, are you religious? Here's this. Close to 50% of all women who go to have abortions write down that they're Christians. Something ain't being taught.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't know. That's just the business.
Amen.
Why do people have abortion? How about that one? That's a good one. Here's why they do. Three reasons. Having a baby would interfere with work, school, or other responsibilities. Well, if you know that, then you don't need to be having sex.
Amen.
Then you don't need to be fornicating if you know that you keep doing it long enough.
Amen.
Second most popular answer, we can't afford a child. Well, you can't afford, listen, let me tell you something.
Amen.
If you're having a sex with a man who can't afford to take care of the baby, we have a problem. If you're having sex with somebody, listen, stop asking them what their sign is. Stop asking them who their favorite football player is. Ask them what their GPA is. Ask them. Who they God is.
Amen.
See, young women, we asking all the wrong questions. What about AIDS? Uh-huh. How's AIDS transmitted? Somebody said, I didn't go to church and get a biology class or whatever that, wherever this is taught, if it's taught at all. Okay? HIV is spread through contact with certain body fluids when a person infected with AIDS. I hope I scared somebody from not having sex tonight. Everybody gonna be like, man, pastor just killed it. It's passed through body fluids, blood. You know, you kiss somebody with a, if you dare kiss somebody with a cold sore on their mouth with AIDS. Semen. Oh, there ain't no babies in here. Semen. It's passed through semen. You don't have to have penetration. Semen. Pre-seminal fluid. Vaginal fluids. How about that? Rectal fluids. Do I need to explain any of this?
No.
Does everybody know what rectal fluids are?
Amen.
Now, folks, listen. Why are you teaching this, Pastor?
Amen.
Because God taught it.
Amen.
We are all vulnerable, folks. Listen. I think about little Jeremy. Pray for him. He's on my list. You know what little Jeremy doing right now? Push-ups. You know what Jeremy's doing right now? He is preparing for war. He's preparing now to know what happens if that ship is attacked. If the ship he's on attack, Jeremy, this is what we need to do. And he's learning. He's learning. They're teaching him all this before they put him on the ship, really. But he's learning how to be a man, how to be responsible, how to handle this area if it's under attack. Let me tell you something, folks. Pastor, how do I avoid sexual sin? How do I avoid becoming a statistic? How do I avoid running into that person who just all that? I just can't resist the brother. I know he broke. I know he got 5 kids already. But I just love him. He got a 6-pack and a fresh haircut. And it's coming. You know, let me tell you something. It's coming. Okay? Gloris, he coming at you. Jasmine, he looking for you. How?
Tell it.
Claire, 6-pack don't mean a 6-pack of beer. Oh, okay. Okay, 6-pack. Listen. Be certain that day coming. Here's how Paul told the Ephesian church in Ephesians 6:13. He said, wherefore, now I'm going to talk to you about how do I prepare? You prepare just like Jeremy's preparing. Okay? Little Jeremy. You prepare just like little Jeremy's preparing. He says, Paul says in 6:13, Ephesians, wherefore take unto you. Come on now, Randy, listen to me. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why, Paul? Why? That you may be able, that you may have the power, that you may have the strength and the power to do what? To withstand in the evil day. It's coming. Some people say, oh, that evil day means you die. That evil day don't mean when you die. That evil day mean when that woman walked in my office that day and all them bells and whistles went off and sirens, everything. You in trouble. Flee. See, it takes power to flee. Amen. See, it takes power to say no. But see, somebody gonna offer you something. You know, there's still folks out here. All the bad we know about smoking crack. Folks still smoking crack for the first time. Now you're not explaining to me. Okay, every day we see folks OD'ing and all this stuff. We see all the problems with alcohol and all that. And you know what, folks are still getting behind the wheel of a car drunk. See, they don't have it. They don't have the power. You guys can get the power. Oh my goodness. I feel like a power broker. Listen, how do we do it? Here's how you do it. Wherefore you take on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore having what? Your loins girded about with truth. You're going to stand on the truth. My pastor just talked to me about that. He just talked to me about fornication and sexual sin. Save myself a marriage. How many would sign a contract today? I'm going to save myself. I'm not going to let nobody touch me until I am married. I will never smoke a cigarette. I will never drink a beer. I will never smoke a joint. Say, folks, all the hands ought to have been going up. So we got problems. Well, God made marijuana. It's got to be good. God made hell too. Listen. Get your truth. Your feet ought to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be ready. Be ready for battle. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Listen, folks, we ought to be prayed up. We ought to be girded into truth. We ought to have the helmet of salvation on. We ought to know that God has saved us and delivered us. And we ought to know, we ought to have a higher standard than the world. Amen. We ought to have a higher standard than the world. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. How are you going to let a child of the devil even hold a conversation with you.
Amen.
See, the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, says, how can two folks walk together unless they agree? I don't know if that's what 6:14 said. I don't think that's Amos 3:3. But I think it's the same meaning. How about the N-word guilt? I mean, I'm getting somewhere. Take my time. Think about the greatest king that ever lived. If you think you bad, and you don't need God, and that you can do this on your own, and you can live any way you want, think about the greatest king that ever lived. This man's name is mentioned more than any other name in the Word of God. David. David battled with sin. He battled, started with his eyes, and then it entered his heart. And even though he was healed externally, he still had an inward battle. See, he still had an inward battle. And he knew that he wasn't going to deal with this battle on his own. And see, some of us, we won't commit the act. God forbid. But we have those inward demons. And we live in a world now where the internet and it's just anything you watch on TV. It's giving God, it was giving Satan glory. The women half naked, everything you watch. But see, David had an inward battle. And all of us in here, we got our battles. And like David, we have to take them to the Lord. In Psalms 51, David took it to the Lord. And I know I covered this on Wednesday night for a long time, but I just want to breeze through it. And I'm going to move right over here to Peter, because Peter had the same problem in his church. It's not something new. Okay? See, it didn't come out. It didn't come with spandex and paint on jeans. Okay, see, back in that day, listen, if you showed an ankle back then, you was considered whorish.
Amen.
But folks still struggle with sin. Amen. Sexual sin. David said, listen, Lord, I got a problem. Too big for me. It's too big for me, Lord. And he says in a time where there was no grace. David lived under the law. There was no grace. But David said, listen, I need grace, because the law is just going to destroy me and kill me. David said, have mercy on me, O Lord. And then that wasn't enough. He said in verse 2, he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And then he says, against thee and only thee have I done this evil in thy sight. And he says, I was shapen in iniquity, or shapen in sin, born in sin. And now he gets to the inward parts. He said, behold, I desire truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part, in the part that the pastor don't see, or the part that the pastor's wife don't see. He said, I desire truth in the inside of me. He says, purge me. It says, get it out of me. Pump my stomach and my body till it just come out. Purge me. And then he said, make me hear gladness. Make me hear joy and gladness. And now I like this part here. Verse 10. He said, now, you created everything. You created the sun and the stars and the moon. He said, now do something for me that only you can do. He said, create me a clean heart. Listen, but we got issues. I said we got issues. We live in a world where adultery is glorified. They got movies on out, movie, they glorify adultery, divorce court, all that kind of stuff, and people got glorifying adultery. There's a time when an adulterer was a castaway, was an outcast in the community. And when I was coming up, if you got a divorce, you was considered an outcast. Now you can get have three divorces to run for president. And be embraced by the Christian community. Really? That's just the way it is. Peter, and like I said, Peter lived in a time where folks didn't wear mini skirts and spandex and what they call that other stuff. Women were covered. But you know, they had a problem in 2 Peter 2:14. I thought this was interesting. I'm going to cover this and I might be done. Y'all know I haven't ate. I'm eating now. Look at this. Look at 2:14. I want y'all to write these down and just study them. Put them on your phone. He says, this was going on in his church. This was going on among the people of God. He says in 2:14, having eyes full of adultery. Full of adultery. That cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls and in a heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. Now, that's just huge. But you know what it means to have eyes full of adultery? That means every woman you see, or every man you see. See, the old folks used to call them white liver girls. The white liver girls. They just sexy, sexual, just hungry. And brothers just hungry, full of adultery. Eyes that cease not from sin. All they see is sin. See, that's the end result. If you serve Satan long enough, he's the father of sin. You're going to see sin in everything. I try to tell the church here, see God in everything. You know what Satan teaches people? See sin in everything. See sin in everything. Beguiling unstable souls. Listen to this next one. A heart trained. That's the word of God saying that. It says, and heart that have exercised with covetous practice. Now, you know, you exercise for a reason. Because you want to be strong in whatever you exercising in. Peter said these folks exercise in sin. They were strong in it. And some of us was. We were strong. We were children of the devil. That's what Peter is saying here. Cursed children. You know, you can have great parents and still be a cursed child. Let me say that again. You can have the greatest parents and still be a cursed child.
Amen.
Great parents that teach you the word of God, bring you to church, bring you to fellowship, love you and cherish you, do the best they can with the resources they have, and you can still be a cursed child because you want everything that the devil has to offer and nothing that God wants to give you freely.
Amen.
Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. Love your children. Bring them up and just do everything you can for them. Some of them, you might do too much. But you don't do it. You just do it because you just have a heart for your child. But we have cursed children. Children just can't wait to get out of your sight. As soon as they get out of your sight, they don't have nothing to do with what you taught them, with how you brought them up, how you raised them. Cursed children. Listen. Look at that word. Beguiling unstable souls. I thought that was interesting. I had to spend some time with that one. You know what that word means? Beguiling. It's just that folks that have an advantage. They have an advantage. And they use whatever their strengths are, they use to ruin a person. The word beguiling comes from the word wooing. Or enticing. And really the text is saying you have preachers. They'll tell you that's what you want. Tell you you're wonderful. You are beautiful. You're wonderful. You're the best church member I've ever had in my church. We couldn't run this church without you. And you know what their purpose is? They want your money. They want your money. And they'll tell you anything to get that money. But in this sense here, the beguiling one is someone who uses their resources. Now, we got some weak brothers in this world, in this church, in every church. When I was putting this together, I thought about some things. I thought about some things. Y'all know I do. Here's a text that I thought about. Proverbs 6. I talked to these brothers. You don't have a chance with this type of female. You know, some brothers just overmatched. Okay? Now, I learned coming up Women choose. Women choose. You don't choose the woman. The woman choose you. Okay, so you think you choosing. They gonna let you think. They beguile. They gonna think, make you think that you choosing them, but actually, they choosing you. A woman choose who she want to be in a relationship with. Okay? Oh, yeah. This brother. I know it's old, but it's still true.
Amen.
Jake over there, I chose Jackie. I heard you. I heard you, Jake. I didn't even look that way. Jackie like, you crazy. What? Listen. I thought this was interesting. Watch this. It's Proverbs 6. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Proverbs 6 and 20. This is interesting. Here's a father talking to his sons. Trying to give them the business. Trying to give them some knowledge. I'll be trying to get them boys some knowledge. I'm going to give you some knowledge. He says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them around thy neck. You know what's wrong? You know, wear a cross. Wear one of the little chains, whatever it remind you of. You and a sister, you belong to God. You my child. You need to be smart. You need to be thinking. You need to be paying attention. You need to be sober. You need to be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So if that's your thing, get you a chain, get you a bracelet, get you whatever. But let that chain, let that bracelet remind you of who you are, and you are vulnerable. You can be had. You can be in jail tomorrow. Pay attention to these women, because some of them got boyfriends in prison. And they might get out while you're over their house. Y'all don't know because you got hungry eyes. The next thing you know, who is that? Oh, my boyfriend got out last night from prison. Listen. I want to take you there. I want to take you here. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou art awake, it shall talk with thee. That's what the Word of God do. Ain't that a beautiful picture of God's work in a believer's life? For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. Now watch verse number 24. To keep thee from the evil woman. Let me tell you something. She ain't your wife. She evil.
Amen.
That's bold, but it's right.
Amen.
If she ain't your wife, she evil. See, there's nothing about dating in the Bible. See, y'all, what ages am I to date? You able to date when you find you somebody that want to marry you with some money? That's the biblical mandate. There ain't no dating in the Bible. I'm going out on a date. Jacob never went out on no date. Isaac never went out on no date. Jake said amen because he got his baby in his hand. You know, I bet I had this tape when you get 16. I know what he's thinking. Listen, to keep from the evil woman and from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Beep, 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 beep. You ever had one of them Deacon Oliver with them eyelids? Listen, watch this now. Juan, you listen to me. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Now, I had to do some research about these eyelids. Because something is happening in our world. Because I'm seeing women more. I see it on cars. I see them putting them big eyelashes on cars. You ever seen one of them? I'm like, do you know what eyelashes mean? Whores and whores put on false eyelashes. So I said, let me see. Listen, now hear my word. I'm in trouble. Listen. Listen, I had to go to the Urban Dictionary. Now, when I go to the Urban Dictionary, I get the real answer. Urban Dictionary, somebody said, I'm taking these eyelashes off. False eyelashes, sometimes called eyelash extensions, are worn by women, occasionally by men, to thicken the upper eyelashes. Now, this is the Urban Dictionary. They are favored by sluts and porn stars, but are also worn by girls and women who wish to look sluttish or seductive. Now, let me close. Let me close. My wife said this. Now let me close. That's the word. Them eyelids. Them eyelids. Watch that text. This is serious. Now, I make light of some things because it's a tough subject. But it's so serious that the Word of God says this. That is an intention in doing anything we do. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's a matter of the heart. Now, you know why you're doing something, some of the things you do. And you know why you wear some of the things you wear. Okay? And see, some folks say, I'm just coming to church. I want to be sexy for Jesus. Okay, and we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Because God has gifted many of us. Okay? But if you got a problem, and I think the text is saying that, and I have to close with this. I have to. Verse 29. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Why? What Jesus is saying is, it's that important. If something you really love is causing you enough problems to interfere with your relationship with the Lord and cause you to become a castaway, amen, you need to deal with it, and you need to deal with it right now. Amen. Right now. Right now. Because there's some stuff out there. Now, I talk about the men. I talk about the women. I thought about this. I thought about this song came out in the 70s. And it's relevant for the church today. Because folks is not showing any respect for folks that will struggle. There's folks in this church that struggle with sexual sin, struggle with their eyes, struggle with their hands. We have a responsibility as men, and we have a responsibility as women to present ourselves. Amen. Okay? To present ourselves a certain way in God's house. Amen. We do. We do. Now, I thought about this. And now, I'm not reading this to make light of it or because it may be funny, but I see so much of this, and I've been in some churches, and I see so much of this. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. It's by the Commodores. Y'all know it. It says, she's a brick house. She's mighty, mighty, just letting it all hang out. She's a brick house. That lady's stacked, and that's a fact. Ain't hold nothing back. She's a brick house. Well put together, everybody knows this is how the story goes. She knows she's got everything that a woman needs to get a man. Yeah, yeah. How can she lose with the stuff she used? 36, 24, 36. Oh, what a winning hand. Because she's a brick house. She's mighty, mighty. Just letting it all hang out. She's a brick house. Now I got to get somewhere. Oh, that lady stacked, and that's a fact. Ain't hold nothing back. Oh, she's a brick house. Yeah, she's the one, the only one built like an Amazon. The clothes she wears, her sexy ways, make an old man wish for younger days. She knows she's built, and she knows how to please. Sure enough to knock a strong man to his knees. She's a brick house. Now, why am I saying that? Why am I saying that? Because we got to show respect to God's people. And if we have people in here that are built a certain way, then you have responsibility when you come to God's house.
Amen.
To be covered.
Amen.
Clothed a certain way.
Amen.
And then we got men that's going to, it wouldn't matter if you, in Peter's day, it wouldn't matter if you came in here with a potato sack on down to your knees, they're going to see through that. Because they have hearts full of lust. But we have a responsibility to our people, especially this family. This family. Okay? The word of God said the men ought to treat the women like sisters, and the sisters ought to treat the men like brothers. So, church ain't the place to be sexy.